Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message already in progress.
Not only knowing what this day is, but we're being born again. I heard Bishop Jones, who makes reference to his pastor, Elder Falls, he said, "I thank the Lord for letting me live, and after I've been alive, I'm born again." Come on, he said, "I thank God for letting me live. I thank God for after I'm alive, God lets me be saved." So for no other reason, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful because God has allowed us to see this day and also participate in salvation. When we studied this particular psalm, I love the book of Psalms. As you've seen, we've kind of got stuck here. I believe this is the 15th installment of this playlist series, God's Playlist, nestled right here in the middle of your Bible with just simply hymns or songs that God left here on record to let us know how we ought to worship God, how we ought to be transparent with God, how we ought to let him know all that he's done for us, and even how we feel emotionally, even what we're going through when we're experiencing fear, when we're experiencing anger, when we're experiencing being upset with circumstances. The psalmist always let us know that it's okay to be transparent. In a real sense, it's okay to come to the house of God and take my mask off. I believe a lot of times when we come to the house of God, we do, as the woman of God said, we come with a facade. We come superficially and not really come broken, not really come transparent, not really coming and allowing God to help us and to heal us for whatever it is we need, but not in the case of the songs. Psalm 118, I love where it's placed. It's nestled in between the shortest psalm and the longest psalm. The shortest psalm is Psalm 117. It's just simply two verses. Psalm 117 just simply said, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all people, for his great steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord. That's Psalm 117 in a nutshell. But Psalm 119 is not only the longest song, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Psalm 119, we'll be preaching from that on next week, Lord's willing, and we'll be here from get bright to get dark. Trying to get through all 176 verses. Y'all ain't going to help me. I'm not going to do that to you. But anyway, I want to, though. But Psalm 1, somebody say, "I'm just going out of town. I'm putting my finger up now." Prophetically, get out of here. Listen, my point is that Psalm 118 is nestled between the shortest psalm and the longest psalm, I believe, for a reason. The reason, I believe, is the backdrop behind Psalm 118. You must know the background that made the psalmist write what he wrote. What was the motivation? What was the reason why they sat down and penned these words? And oftentimes, in order for people to really understand who we are, we must sit down for a moment and tell them our background. I believe we ought to sit down for a moment and really explain to people. I think a lot of times people who stand on the docks or outside of the church, they don't really necessarily like to come into the church because you and I, I'm not talking about nobody, but I'm talking about who I'm talking about. You and I, we act as if we've always been saved. We act like we've never drunk no liquor before. We act like we never smoked before. We act like we've never had sex before. We act, come on, good God, this and go off. Amen. Amen. We act as if we've never done anything, and not that we're still doing that. Let me say that. We shouldn't still be drinking and smoking and sexing and all that outside of the covenant of marriage. But here my point is, we're still doing that, but now we ain't being married now. But anyway, my point is this, that God allows us to go through some things that we might be able to help some people. Somebody need to know how you used to make bad decisions. Somebody need to know how you were strung out there on this and you were strung out there on that. Somebody need to know your story because they can't appreciate where you are if they don't know where you've been. And I believe more young people will want to be a part of what we're doing, and more people who will just sit back and look at the church and look at you and I and look at us as if we're holy rollers, or look at us as if we got ourselves together. We've always had ourselves together, but no, we ought to be able to take time to let someone know where we came from. When you look at Psalm 118, the psalm was written at a time of rejoicing. This psalm was written because the people of God, they had went down to Babylonian captivity, and God let them come back. And at their coming back, God allowed them to rebuild the temple. But can I tell you that them rebuilding the temple and building God a place to rest, to abide, to reside, this particular place and being built and being constructed, it was no easy task. Can I tell you that anything that you and I attempt to build, it's not going to be easy. Anytime, come on, someone who maybe has been to college and took all of those classes and got all of those courses, maybe they're a physics teacher now or a chemistry teacher. Come on, the chemistry teachers just don't roll off the bed. They don't fall off the turnip trucks, but no, they got to go through some rigor. They got to take some classes. And here, can I tell you that you have to go through some things to get to some places. Here, you got to go through some things. You have to experience something. Anything that's worth having is going to call for a fight. If you want a strong and a healthy marriage, every day not going to be fun. You're not going to like them some days. Some days we just be like, oh, baby, just the day not the good day. You go on that side of the house. I'll go on the other side of the house. You leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone, and we'll try again tomorrow. Y'all not going to help me here. We're going to be with each other for the rest of our life. Ain't no sense in flushing down the whole relationship off of one day. We see right now you roll out of the wrong side of the bed. I roll out the wrong side of the bed. Whatever had happened. But my point is this: it takes some work. If you want some respectable children, it takes some work. If you want to advance secularly on the job and matriculate through school, it takes some work. Anything that's worth having, you have to work at it. If you want to be effective in ministry, it's going to take some work. If you want to perfect your craft, it takes some work. These sermons and messages that I preach, I don't pull them off of a sermon tree. I don't pull them off of a message tree back in the back behind the dome back there. But no, it takes some work. It takes some labor. It takes some hours of studying and reading and studying and reading and putting this stuff together, because here God wants to do something through me. And here, if God wants to do something through you, and he does, it's going to take some work. It takes some work. The psalm writer wrote this because after all that they've been through, they had a reason to be appreciative. Let's look at it right here in Psalm 118, verse number 1. Look what he says. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. For his steadfast love endures forever." Verse 2 says, "Let Israel say, let his steadfast love endures forever." He says in verse 3, "Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love does what? Endures forever." The psalmist, I told you that this psalm is bracketed with thanksgiving. The first few verses talk about how we ought to give God glory, give God honor. He names three different categories of people: those that are Israel, those that are the line of Aaron, and also he says everyone that fears the Lord. So to me, the songwriter is saying, no matter who you are and where you come from, you should be able to echo this and agree with this, that God's steadfast love endures forever. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, it's appreciation, it's thanksgiving. And the psalmist is telling us this, that we ought to thank God for what he's done for us. And here, the songwriter writes this because they survived some things. The first thing they survived, I got to dive right in this, they learned, and you and I wish we would learn how to survive even under pressure. They survived even under pressure. What is pressure? What is pressure? Pressure is continuous physical force exerted on or against an object in contact with it. Pressure. Grandma say that if you get enough pressure, it'll bust a pipe. Pressure is something that's applied to us all, and I must be able to know how to survive. I must know how to become who God wants me to become in spite of the pressure. Let me let you in on something. You're never going to have a life where there won't be any pressure. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be peer pressure. There's always going to be a pressure to succeed. There's always going to be pressure to advance. There's always going to be pressure from people trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to throw the towel in. There's always going to be external pressure, and there's going to be internal pressure. Because before I hear your voice, there's a voice on the inside of me, the enemy, that tells me that I can't do what I'm trying to do. You tried that before, and you quit. You did that before, and you failed. And the enemy always tries to defeat me before I even show up to the battle. But I must learn how to survive in spite of the pressure. There is going to be some pressure. The use of intimidation. I love that. Because people try to intimidate you out of becoming who it is that God wants you to become. People try to talk you out of your blessing. People try to talk you out of your breakthrough. People try to talk you out of whatever it is that God has done in your life. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know all the tears I've cried. You don't know all the headaches I've had. You don't know all the hell, the H-A-I-L I've had. You don't know all the things that I've been through in order to get to where it is that God has for me. So I can't let you talk me out of my blessing. I can't let you talk me out of my miracle. I know too much about him. You can't make me down here, because I know that God wants to do something in my life. I got to learn how to go even in spite of pressure. I'm not making this up. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, the psalmist said, out of my distress. He's literally stressing. They're literally stressing. He said, out of a stress place. He didn't call Tyrone when he was stressing. He didn't go get him a little red cup. When he was stressing. Y'all ain't going to talk to me here. Little red cup. No, he didn't. Because I'd always start with this right here. If you see somebody doing like this, don't ask them what's in the cup. Don't ask them what's in the cup. It's out of his stress place. See, my point is this, that whenever it is that I'm in a stressful situation, whenever it is I'm under pressure, I got to know who to talk to. I got to know who to run to. Mark chapter 4 says that they were on a storm. They were in a boat, and they were in the middle of a storm. And the Bible says that the disciples, they went and they woke up Jesus. They went down in the bottom of the boat, and they woke Jesus up. And they said, Jesus, don't you care that we're under pressure? Don't you care that we're getting ready to die? And here I used to say, when I was a young preacher, I've been preaching for a little while now. When I was a young preacher, I say that look at the disciples. They should have had more faith than that. They should have knew not to go wake up Jesus. But then I started, had a couple more birthdays. I had a little more pressurous situation, and the Lord sprung in my spirit, and now I got the understanding. At least they knew who to run to. They might have was under pressure. They might have thought they was getting ready to drown, getting ready to die, but at least they went to wake up the master. You can't go wake up some of these things that you will put to sleep, but no, you got to go and you got to wake the master. The psalmist said, out of my distress, when I'm stressing out, I don't need no smoke. No, when I'm stressing out, I need to go and find. When I'm stressing out, I don't need to call a friend. When I'm stressing out, I don't need nobody to come and give my body a fix. No, but when I'm stressing out, boy, nobody say nothing on that. Yeah, I just, when you get quiet like that, that means bingo. That means I got something real good just then. I don't know about no Splacavelli. Look at verse 5. Tell me what kind of, anyway, the Lord answered me and set me free. It ain't your husband. It ain't your boyfriend. Y'all don't know about that Splacavelli. Y'all ain't going to talk. Anyway, let me get out of here. You know, let me keep going. He says, the Lord, he answered me. I got to stick to where I'm trying to go. He answered me and did what? Set me free. This is so good. This is so good. And I missed this earlier. I want to read in the King James Version. Look what it says. The psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. It literally means that the psalmist is under pressure. It literally means that he's between a rock. Come on, help me, preacher, here. In between a rock and a hard place, and he's literally, the pressure is insurmountable. The pressure is all on him. He don't know where to go. He don't know where to turn. He don't know who to call to. But he called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him and set him free in a large place. The Lord gave him a little room to stretch out. The Lord pulled him from under the pressure and pulled him from where he was in bondage and set him free. Yes, he did. He said he pulled him out. He pulled him out. And here, when you look at the story and look at what happened in the days of Nehemiah, you'll see why they felt like they were stressing. You'll see why they felt like they was under pressure. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 10. New Living says, Sanballat and Tobiah, they heard of Nehemiah's arrival. The Bible says they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. Here they're trying to come rebuild the wall. They're coming to try to bring some assistance, trying to bring some aid to the people of God. But Sanballat and Tobiah, they were mad that somebody was coming to help the people of God. Can I tell you that everybody won't be happy because you're trying to survive? Everybody won't be happy because you're trying to build a great marriage. They're not happy because you're trying to build something, some legacy with your family, some legacy with your children. But they will be upset because here it is, whenever you advance, whenever you go further, it helps expose what they need to do in their life. Let me say it another way. You know that people have a crab mentality. They never want to see you go up, because when you start going up, it exposes them. When you start developing, it exposes them. When you start walking into your season and walking into what God has for you, it's a glaring contradiction to their life and what they're doing. And here you got to know, you got to be able to know how to respond even when people put pressure on you. Even when they put pressure, I can be able to survive. I can be able to survive this. Look, let me hurry. Oh, I'm doing pretty good here. Let me hurry because there's a second thing. Not only pressure, that I need to learn how to survive. I must learn how to survive under persecution. We are some super sensitive saints. Triple S. Not Hunter Helmsley. Triple S. We are some super sensitive saints. Can you imagine when we get over there on the other side? We all sitting around the glorious table of the Lord. And we all are testifying. And Paul said, you know what? They chopped my head off and fed my body to the lions. Peter said, oh, Paul, I feel you. They turned me upside down and crucified me. John the apostle, John said, they threw me in oil, literally boiling hot oil, and I still survived. And they put me on an island out there in Patmos, and then they're going to say, well, Pastor Goldman, what happened to you? They was talking about me. They're going to get to the saints of the day and say, well, what happened? Well, I went 3 days. Like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I went 3 days with no lights, and we had no electricity, and I didn't know what we were going to do. I had to get a hot plate. I went and had to go. Come on here. You get my point here. The saints of old, man, they'll literally laugh at us over the stuff that we call persecution. They were literally just sitting there and say, are you serious? Have you ever been talking to somebody who's younger, and here they complaining about a $30 Metro bill, and you want to sit up here and say, girl, if you sit down for a minute, let me tell you about this $1,200 mortgage I got. You want to talk about it because you ran out of minutes on your Metro phone because you can't get no more boost or your cricket going. Y'all ain't going to help me here. And let me tell you about all these bills. Where's Destiny Child at? I got bill. Here, and let me tell you for a moment about the things that I've been through. And you look at them and almost like, girl, you have no idea. You just be like, what'd you do one of these? Well, you'll learn one day, young fella. You'll learn one day. That's what the saints are saying. We talking about we under persecution. We're really not going through anything. We complaining about some minuscule stuff. They didn't speak to me. They didn't like me. They talked about me. Who cares whatever somebody says about us? I must learn how to be delivered from people. I must be delivered from people that God has me in. And number one, I got to be delivered from myself. Let me hurry because I'm up against it and I got to get this done here. The Bible says I got to learn how to survive even under persecution. persecution. Look, I'm not making this up. Look what the psalmist says in verse number 6, Psalm 118, verse 6. He said, the Lord is on my side. That'll preach right there by itself. The psalmist said, the Lord is on my side. Let me tell you something. Here, whenever it is that you walk according to God's will, word, and way, that doesn't mean that he just stops what he's doing and gets with your program. But no, when you walk according to his will, his word, and his way, that means that I'm getting with his program and he's on my side, because he said his name even above. He said his word even above his name. That where he said, if I said I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he has to repent. But if I said I'm going to do it, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. And here the verse say that the Lord is on my side. The verse says, he said, put verse 5 back up. He said, verse 6, he said, the Lord is on my side. So because the Lord is on my side, he says, I will not fear, because I got God with me who's omnipresent. God, who's the only one that's always bumping into himself. God, who's always going from where he's coming to. God, the one that you can't go over him. You can't go under him. You can't go around him. God, if you make your belly in hell, that's exactly where he'll be. If you take up wings of the dove, he'll be there. God, the one that's omnipresent, he's everywhere. He said that I am with you, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So if I got God with me, Jehovah Shammah, that means the Lord is there. Wherever you are, he's there. If I got him with me, why am I afraid what man doing to me? Why am I afraid of what man does to me? We put too much weight on people. He said, the Lord is on my side. I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. Can do, not will do. We be scared over the potential of somebody doing something to us. Come on here, somebody. We be scared over, well, they might. I don't know. Looking all out the window. Where all my nosy neighbors at? Where my nosy neighbors? Come on here. If where all my nosy? You see an unidentified car, you all outside. You all checking the tag. Where my nosy neighbors? If you not, if it's not, come on here. If you can't think of no nosy neighbors, then boo, you might be the nosy neighbor. Come on here. If you can't think of nobody in your neighborhood who you know be pulling the blinds down, and all of a sudden Miss Johnson out there, hey, Miss Johnson. Oh, hey, Miss Parker. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Lord is my shepherd. But the Bible says that this Friday, I got to go, baby. Give me 5 more. I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. Verse 7. The Lord, next Friday, the Lord is on my side. As my helper, I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Look what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, because the Lord is on my side, because I'm not fearful, I'm not afraid what man does for me, the psalmist has a built-in resume. This is where we get Psalm 124. Look at Psalm 124:1. We're not going to be able to cover this particular psalm, so I just had to throw it in here today. He says, the Lord, if it had not been. Come on, y'all. Y'all should have been a praise break right there. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Okay, you take a moment and think about where in the world you would be at if the Lord had not been on your side. Can you take a moment and think about what your life would be looking like if the Lord had not been on your side? Come on here. There are some of us we know we'll be dead. There are some of us we know we'll be on the fourth floor in a padded room with a backwards jacket on. There are some of us that have something that we can't wash off. If the Lord had not been on our side. Sit down. Look what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah says, look how they attacked them. Look what they did to them. Verse 17 in Nehemiah chapter 2. I'm trying to marry the two so you can see what the psalmist is talking about. Then I said to them, Nehemiah said, you see the trouble we are in. So why can't we survive this persecution? Some of us, Lord have mercy, some of us have too much riding on us. Some of us have too many people depending on us for us not to survive. Come on, I think you missed me there. Some of us have too many people depending on us for me not to be who God have called me to be. I got too many souls locked up in the belly of my soul for me not to be who God have called me to be. I got 3 daughters that look at me that I cannot quit. I cannot walk away because I'm in trouble. Our world is in trouble. We all are in trouble. And Nehemiah said, you see the kind of trouble that we're in and Jerusalem lying in ruins. See, some of us, our lives are in ruin. Our families are in ruin. And the Lord needs you to survive. The Lord needs you to be that soul survivor, that you can be that lifeline for your family. The Lord needs you to be that soul survivor, that you can come through the muck and the mire. And after the dust has settled, you'll be the one that can rise out of the ashes, because there's so much trouble around us. Nehemiah said, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Come on here, somebody. I want to ignite something in your spirit today, that where you'll say, come on, from the house of God, let's go build something. Come on here, let's glean from where we are. Let me go rebuild some relationships that's torn down. Let me